Hey, what's up? This is your girl, Taylor Wilde. Welcome back to Wild On Season 6, the podcast where you get the insider's view of the weird, wild world of wrestling and witchcraft on Wednesdays. All right, I know I've said it before, but we are getting really wild, season 6. I mean, we are just straight up wilding out. We are going to be traveling. We are going to be bringing the biggest names in professional wrestling today. But most importantly, we are mixing it up. We are getting a little bit spicy. I'm bringing you my Etobicoke homegirl, the Veronica to my Betty, my muscle mommy, Silesia Sparks. What's up, bitch?
Hi, bitch.
Okay. How do we meet?
We met back in, like, I want to say it was back in my red hair days. You, I think you were retired at this point. You had like a girls group.
Oh, at Squared Circle. Yeah.
And Sebastian came to like help you, and he brought like me along to help you help, I guess, like help everybody help each other.
God, I had no idea.
Yeah. That was like our first interaction.
So in my mind, we met for the first time at this promotion that we've both worked for in Toronto that we're not going to talk about because patooey. But you literally had kind of retired.
I was retired and like this was not me being retired. This was me like being injured. That's what I was.
Okay.
So like I want to say 2016. It was kind of like shortly after my ban. I was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I hate this. It's boring for me now. Just I'm not having fun. Everything's the same. I can't really do anything.
Okay.
So let me take a step back. And that's when I like, that was my break.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Got it. And then you and I have made a lot of similar mistakes and parallels.
Lots.
We both married Englishmen, and Englishmen are fine. It's like no shade to the Englishmen, but just the ones we chose were not, just they weren't quite right.
No, dude, not at all.
But we were both married
Englishmen.
Things are
different out there. This is very different.
Yes. Yeah. It's not. They do not like to have a laugh at their own expense the way we do, especially English women. It's not the same.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't really date English women. But I was in Wales. So like people in Wales were like super love to laugh and talk shit and like just chill out. They were super, super chill. They loved to drink. They loved to just hang out.
Okay.
I just seemed to find the crazy ones.
Yeah.
That's a me problem. I know that.
Unhealed trauma. We'll talk about it later. Okay. Well, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get into the tea. Mm-hmm. We are bringing a new little piece to the Wild On podcast. The same wildness that you get every Wednesday, but a show called Sleazy Tea.
Sleazy Tea.
That's right. We are going to be spilling the hot gossip, all the tea of what's going on in professional wrestling. But don't worry. We've changed the names for all those who are innocent until proven guilty. Which brings me to my next point. Someone who has no problem tooting her own horn, today's guest. She is a fellow Canadian wrestler and probably, arguably, the best rehire that you have seen in WWE, and I'd say easily the past 5 years. Her and I worked together at Impact Wrestling. She was just to be married last year on New Year's Eve when she was on the podcast a couple seasons ago. Look it up. It's in the archive. And by the way, have you subscribed? Ladies and gentlemen, my girl, Chelsea Green.
Yay.
Thank you for taking the time out to do my podcast. Seriously, you're so fucking busy.
Okay, but I like doing stuff like this. This is fun.
And there's so much to catch up on. Do you know when we did this last, it was right before your wedding. You weren't married yet.
And I had just been released maybe a couple months before.
Yes. And you had just started your own podcast. The whole world is different now.
I know. It's crazy. So much has changed in, 2 years almost?
Yeah. Okay. So as your friend, as a worker, I just want to say, and those are two very different things, but I just want to say Dee and I talk about it all the time. You are easily the best rehire WWE has ever had. Because I know you personally, and knowing your path, your journey, the challenges, knowing what that world is like, I'm getting so many spiritual goosebumps saying this, but like, you were in so much alignment. You were so authentic. And you went out there in a way that girls who just get hired and start can't do. Because
No, it's so different. It's so different, like, earning something and also having a chip on your shoulder, but also wanting to just, like, prove your fans right and everyone else wrong. Like, there's just so much more to it.
Yeah, and you went out there like, this is my moment. Excuse me. Everybody sit down, shut up, and watch.
That's honestly how I felt, too. It was just like, I have nothing to lose anymore. Like, I truly have nothing to lose. Let me just, like, lay everything out on the table.
And I hate to say, because you've gone through so many challenges that would probably mentally break someone who's not as strong, because you made it, and then you had your debut, and then injury, and then you made it, and you had your debut, and then injury. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, there's just been, like, so many little bumps along the road, so many speed bumps, so many times I took the wrong route, and I feel like it really all was for this. It was for this moment, for me to come back and have such an awesome return and do things that I love and be a character actor and hold a championship. Like, all these things, you know, the time was right.
Oh my God, was it ever. And I feel like the one thing that really differs your position being a superstar rather than anyone else on the roster is the fans know your story because you never kept any of it secret and they feel that. It's like they're going on this journey with you. They're like, we're back and we're amazing.
And that's what I love. Like, I love to just be super transparent. That is obviously, like, of course it's got me canceled on Twitter. It's got me in trouble, but like, but I don't care. I want to be who I am, and my journey is what makes me special, I think, especially being on a roster full of people who have all different stories. My journey as an independent wrestler, as somebody who never gave up and you know, continue to face adversity and trek through it, that's what makes me me. Like, I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't go through all these things.
No, it's true, but I think, like, you know, I hope you hold space for yourself every now and again, and just, like, it sounds like you're there, but, like, girl, you did it.
I do have to remind myself. I had a moment at the Orlando airport last week on my way to Raw, and I was talking to my friend Maxine Dupree, and I was complaining about all the things I still want to do instead of taking a moment to realize where I am. And she stopped me and reminded me. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so right. You're so right. Like, I need to zip my mouth and just be grateful in this moment.
That's a good friend. It's hard though because you're so goal oriented. And you're like,
aren't we all? No wrestler got to where they are without being a very, very driven, goal-oriented person in one way or another.
Absolutely. Because as soon as something gets accomplished, you're like, great. Now what's next? Because it's not a long career. And you don't ever know when it's over.
And I am the worst for that. I could tell myself I want to become champion. Not 5 minutes after I win a championship, I am thinking about what's next. It is so bad, and it's something I'm working on. But, you know, there's a balance, too, because I don't want to lose that part of myself either.
Never. Because you wouldn't be where you were if it wasn't for that.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's switch back about the Chelsea Green podcast. Shit is hard to do, eh?
My gosh, it was so hard to do, and it was even more hard because I wasn't willing to interview people. So for me, I really, really like interviewing people. I really like hearing people's stories. I really like having conversations, but I wanted to do something different for myself and do just a single podcast. Taylor, I did episode one, and I think I only got 25 minutes of content out of it because I didn't realize how hard it was to talk to yourself.
Yeah.
So from that point on, from episode one on, I ended up actually having to write a full-blown script every single week. And I didn't necessarily have to follow the script word for word, but I had to follow it in terms of, this is how long I'm going to talk about something for. It doesn't matter if I only have 2 minutes worth of things in my head. I'm going to talk about it for 5 minutes and then we're going to move on. And it was just, it was a lot of work. Oh, respect to everyone who keeps these podcasts going, you know?
And you were doing it all by yourself too as well, right?
All by myself, basically every part of it. It was so, so much fun though. I had such a good time, but you know, we were also at this strange time in the world where people were getting canceled, and I really had to be careful about how I put things out there as well.
Yes.
As a, you know what I mean? As a, during the pandemic, as a cis white woman in America, you just have to be so careful about how you approach things and what you're putting out there into the world. And I never want to put anything like negative or anything that affects people in a negative way. So it was just a lot to think about.
Okay. So I had a very similar first attempt at my podcast because I think because there's so many podcasters out there now, people just think into a microphone and it's not that hard. Like you just do it, right? I took a shitty mic that I ordered off Amazon, like a little clip-on mic. I was like, okay, where am I going to get like the best sound? Well, people sing in the shower and they sing in the bathroom and that's where you get the best like audible sound. So I was at work at the fire hall. I was like, okay, I have time in between calls. I sat in the shower. I spewed nonsense for like, I don't know, 20 minutes. And then I sent it to Rochelle, who you met, my podcast editor and producer. And apparently it was like listening to somebody in a glass jar.
Yeah, like echoey and strange sounding. And yeah.
Hi, it's Taylor. She was like, great, this is shit. So do it again. It's so fucking hard.
It's really hard. And there's just so much more to it than speaking. I mean, I think that was the beauty of my podcast was that it seemed like I was just speaking. Yeah. It seemed like I pressed play and I was just talking to my friends, or so that's what people told me. But that wasn't it. I was so tired coming off the road from being on the independent scene and then having to write this script and fine tune it and stay current. And I'm not someone who, especially not, you know, having a podcast that isn't interviewing people, you can't really backlog because every week something was happening that you kind of need to touch on, or else why are you having a podcast with just yourself and talking about current events if it's not current?
Right.
I mean, honestly, the amount that goes into podcasting, and it's just like anything else, like from the outside looking in, doesn't everything look so glamorous and like easy? And none of it is. Not one part of podcasting is glamorous or easy at all.
Which is just like wrestling though, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we look glam. We make it seem like we're killing it on social media. We smile. We do our podcast. Inside, chronic panic attack. My life is completely falling apart. I'm trying to, you know, you just get on with it. And that's what people always need to know is like, we are all just having a human experience and we're just.
Yes.
Right.
That's exactly it.
Right.
Like, I mean, I don't know about you, but my good group of core girlfriends from Canada, they all do something else. I've got real estate marketing. I've got a realtor. I've got a dentist. A photographer. They don't give a flying fuck that I am a wrestler, because at the end of the day, we are all just going through life stressing about one thing or another. I may be stressing because I haven't slept in 3 days, or the world feels like it's crashing down on me on Twitter. But you know, my girlfriend is out here trying to get a deal and put food on the table when the market is awful. And my dentist girlfriend is working 8 days a week. You know what I mean?
Like 100%.
We all have these issues, and then we all have like amazing areas of our work too. It you win some, you lose some.
100%. And let's talk about, you already have your autumn moment going on in the background.
That's right.
Our pumpkin spice life happening inside Chelsea Green Manor.
Absolutely. And if you don't watch TikTok, then you need to go and look up the ghost painting trend. I forced my husband to go to the thrift shop the other day. We got a bunch of paintings. I bought acrylic paint and I drew ghosts on the paintings. And I'm so thrilled with how they came out. And I've got my little skeletons here and my glasses up top that you can't see with skull hands. I've got pumpkins. I've got it all, baby. It is fall for me. It is Gilmore Girls season.
Yeah. Sweater weather.
Yes, absolutely. I am very much, look, I am a basic bee, okay? And I'm not trying to be anything else other than who I am, and I love the seasons.
Do you have thigh-high brown boots?
Actually, I just tossed them out. I told myself, Chelsea, move on. I did get the platform Uggs because all the girlies on TikTok were wearing platform Uggs. So I think that's going to be the new thigh-high boots, okay, is the platform Uggs. And the platform Uggs and the matching sweatsuits. And we're not talking like, I mean, we might go the Juicy Couture way. We might go Y2K.
Sure.
But we're talking like just like a big, oversized, comfy sweatpants and hoodie.
Yeah, an athletic green is where we're going right now. Did you get the green? I got the green.
I have green in about like three different outfits. So.
Same level. Good. Okay, I do want to like circle back to the wedding, even though we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary. Can we spill some tea? Because it was on New Year's Eve into New Year's Day, which, you know, I think is a beautiful way to celebrate. And it's easy to not forget your anniversary when you put it on a holiday. But was there any drama? Was there like a bridesmaid who lost her mind? Was there a mother-in-law that you wish you could have pushed into a fountain? Was there any of that?
There was so much and none all at the same time. So it was New Year's Eve. It was in Vegas. We did it because Matt and I have, from the time we started dating, we've always loved hosting New Year's Eve parties at our house. And not so much because we're like big, like, I don't like hosting events. I'm not really that type of girl, but I do like a reason to bring everyone together. And when I think it was year two of our relationship and everyone had nothing to do, I'm like, I'll have it. It's not going to be fancy. You're not going to find catered food. You're not going to find a DJ or a bartender. It's going to be me with alcohol on my counter. It's going to be a real house party. And you can dress up or you can dress down, whatever you want. So when it came time to the wedding, we could not figure out where we wanted it, with my family from the West Coast, his family from the East Coast, mine from Canada, his from America. Like, we're like, where the hell do we do it so that it's fair for everybody? Because at the end of the day, it's not fair if it's, I would love it in New York, but that's not really fair to make every single person I know travel and his family not. So we came up with Vegas. That it, when we knew it was Vegas, we were like, it's New Year's Eve. We're gonna keep our tradition going. We always forget our anniversary anyway. We kind of just celebrated all throughout February of the time we started dating. So that was perfect. And we also knew that it being New Year's Eve, we didn't have to put a crazy amount into the decor. So I literally bought boxes and boxes of New Year's Eve, like cheap stuff, the hats, the blowers, the necklaces, the sunglasses, like all that stuff. So at about 11 o'clock, like, it was just a New Year's Eve party. It was not my wedding. But because of that as well, and because of the way that I was just so lackadaisical about all of it, we had some definite blowups. I mean, my girls were great. I had 12 bridesmaids. I had the most. It was a huge bridal party. But I just said, like, wear black and look hot. I don't care. So they were all good, but I ended up having a massive blow up between my family.
Oh no.
My parents are divorced. They had a really tumultuous divorce when I was graduating high school.
Okay.
And this was actually, although it was, I mean, 12 to 14 years later, this was kind of the first time that they were forced to come together, to sit together at all these events, to drink in the same room. So we had major, major blow-ups. But if you have a good planner, they don't let you see it. So I did not even know that we had major blow-ups until the next day, because I was drinking the minute I finished my vows until 3 a.m.
Get out. So you literally had the quintessential Hollywood wedding planner, J-Lo in the wedding planner, that was literally like turning like people away from you.
She was so on top of it. I think because she knew we were all so like alcohol fueled. It's New Year's Eve. It's Vegas. You know, we drank for 4 days straight. We literally partied for 4 days straight. We had a rehearsal dinner that went all night long.
Oh, no.
So, like, this was not just your regular classy wedding.
Okay, because let's be real here. You are very aesthetic. You are always beautiful. You are always very put together. Let's talk about skin dehydration. Let's talk about internal dehydration. What was the pregame on game day like? Was it coffee? Was it Monsters? Did you have a hydrofix? What did we do to fix the damage?
Well, I mean, I did everything leading up to it. Everything. And, you know, it so helps that we're in this industry that is, we're always working out. We're always taking care of ourselves. We're always getting the facials and getting dermaplaned and all these things. But that morning, I probably ate nothing and drank nothing. Like, seriously, I probably had a green tea. And that's about it. And I remember right before I walked down the aisle, I looked at my wedding planner and I was like, I think I need a Red Bull. I never drink Red Bull. Like, maybe before like a WrestleMania or a Slammiversary or a Bound for Glory, I'll have like a couple sips and I'll share it with somebody.
Yeah.
But I'm not really an energy drink girly because I did that in high school. Cool. And I'm telling you, I looked at her, I'm like, I don't know where Red Bull is, but I need one. And don't you know, she had a Red Bull in my hand like 3 minutes later.
Good for her. That's a good planner.
I mean, we also, it was so awesome. We started the wedding so late because it was a New Year's Eve party. So we did photos at 5 o'clock. The wedding didn't start till 7.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I said, I want this quick. Like, I want by 7:30 everyone to be having cocktail hour. So that's what it was. It was great.
Everyone was loose and wooing when you walked down the aisle.
Oh, absolutely. I believe one of the Good Brothers had a cup that you get in like New York, where it's like about this long and it has a giant straw. I believe he was drinking one of those while I was doing my vows.
Classy. Like, I mean, embrace it though. It was a Vegas wedding. I think that's so fun.
And you know what? We had other options. I mean, Ms. and Maurice offered us their beautiful home in California to have a backyard wedding there, which would have been absolutely amazing. But we chose to go with something that was a little more out there and fun. And people still talk about it like it was the best party ever. I don't really need people to come to my wedding and talk about how my place setting was beautiful. I don't need it. You know, I have so many moments in my life that are like that anyway. Like, and we are the center of attention in so many aspects of our life. I don't necessarily need that on my wedding day, surprisingly, even though I do love being the center of attention.
You made a memory. And
yeah.
I'm glad that it went so well. And like, obviously drama, but like, it's not a wedding unless there's family drama.
Exactly. I mean, it's not a family gathering unless there's family drama. So it's, and you know, like Matt and I have been together now coming up 7 years. Like, right, that's just another, I know. That's just like another little piece of our story.
Wow. Okay. Well, so speaking about you and Matt being together, you also worked together for some years and you worked together at Impact and then, you know, you had your time in WWE together and now you guys are doing different things. So what's it like having separate career lives? Because this is different. This is a different element of your relationship.
So when we first started dating, I was working at Impact and he was working at WWE. Then I got called to NXT. He was working at WWE. When I got called up to the main roster, he was released.
And then I was released.
And so then the first time ever working together was during the pandemic. Our very, very first match together was Slammiversary 2020. Matt and I versus Tennille and Brian Myers. I think we had gotten in the ring together once. Like, we had never even interacted as wrestlers. It's crazy, so different being wrestlers as opposed to partners. And it took us a long time to learn that dynamic, to learn that I'm very much, I didn't realize how relaxed I was about wrestling. I didn't realize that I don't stress as much as he does. And he's very type A when it comes to wrestling and planning his you know, entrance gear and his whatever it is that he's doing for that show. He's very type A. And in life, I'm type A. In wrestling, I am not. So it took us those full 2 years of working together to mesh properly. And it's funny because, you know, on social media, you look like, oh, they were meant to be together. I can't believe that this is the first time. You know, a lot of people forgot it's the first time that we're working together. Yeah. I did not. Let me tell you, Matt and I fought that entire 2 years because we also, on top of being totally different wrestlers in the ring, we're totally different outside. When I travel somewhere, I like to experience things. I like to try a local coffee or a local like cafe, or I like to go for a walk. I like to do something. He is a very regimented human who wants to go to the gym and go to Denny's.
Got it. So, very American. You know,
very American. So all of these things they were just learning experiences. So now it's almost like we've gone back to the way we were before when we started this relationship, which is two very different places. But we understand each other because now he understands what I went through on the independent scene, and I understand what he went through at WWE, which we didn't have before.
Wow, interesting. But I almost wonder, like, that 2 years of you being forced, well, not forced, you worked together, but...
We were forced, but yes.
But how much stronger that made you as a partnership. Like, it could very well have broken you, but to go through that and be stronger, like, it was almost like the universe threw that challenge at you and was like...
No, that is exactly it. We definitely are in a place, and we have been for a couple years, where... Nobody can tell me something about my husband that I don't already know. You cannot surprise me, you know? And during, there was a time in probably 2020 where there was a lot of negativity because of the pandemic and a lot of people kind of trying to break people up and trying to ruin people and trying to tear people down. And I'm so thankful that we were able to get through that and come out the other side stronger. And I mean, although it was a very, very hard time, and it was very hard to learn a different side of my partner and figure out how we mesh together in wrestling, I'm so grateful for it because now I know exactly how he works. There's no surprises in that aspect either.
Isn't it funny though, like when you're forced into something that's this life challenge that you wouldn't have chosen, that's very hard. And like, I witnessed a Matt and Chelsea moment at Impact. I've seen it. And like, That's the person you go home to. That's your safe space. And then having those like blow ups at work that have nothing to do with your relationship. Like, big kudos to you guys for pulling.
It's hard. And for anyone who has to work with their partner, it's really hard to travel, work, live, play, all of it with your partner. We don't do that with our family even. We don't do it with our best friends. So you have to find a balance, right? And our balance was definitely like, okay, we're gonna come together, we're gonna plan this match, but then we're gonna go our separate ways. I'm gonna hang out with the girls in the locker room. He's gonna hang out with, you know, his guys. He's gonna hang out with Brian Myers and the Good Brothers and stuff. And that's how it's gonna be. And if he wants to stay out late and have a couple drinks with them after the show, I love that for him. I'm gonna go to bed. Yeah.
Totally. But I think that's beautiful balance. And like you said, there's nothing that can be thrown at you, and there's never going to be a side of Matt, or there's going to be a very few times with Matt that you're ever going to be thrown off track because you're like, no, I know.
No, that's exactly it. And I have so much fun now making fun of him with like Brian Myers and like all the guys that were on the road with him for the past 15 years. Like, it's so funny to me because I didn't know that side of him. I didn't know he's so regimented. I didn't know he's like a stiff worker in the ring or like all these things that I've learned. It's so funny.
And now, Mr. Matt has a work wife. He's got his Steph DeLander, who you worked with for years. How's that dynamic been? Because now he's got a partner.
I love it. When he, quote unquote, lost me, he was so nervous about like what he was going to do. I had all the faith in the world, and I'm like, he doesn't need me to succeed. I don't need him to succeed. But I understood that like that was his thing. He was even more of a heel because he had some like hot girl beside him that was talking shit. So I understood that he felt he lost a little piece of his character. And so we discussed for a while what was going to be next and who he was going to bring in. Was he going to bring in a male, a female, you know, someone tall, someone small? Like, how is this going to work? And I knew Steph, but I didn't think about Steph. Matt was actually in Australia and he saw her for the first time and he texted me, do you know STL? Like, she has such a cool look. And I was like, oh my God, she's perfect. She's perfect for you because now you're not trying to find a Chelsea 2.0. You're finding a Steph. You are finding someone so different and so unique, and that dynamic is going to be totally different while still giving you the same feel that him and I gave you.
Right.
So, I mean, I love it. I trust them. I trust her. I think she's a really, really hard worker. I think she deserves all the success that is coming to her and that she's been given in the past year. And I think they have something that's really unique and special.
100%. And I think, like, I just wanted to segue into that because, you know, the internet's a vicious place. Everyone loves to make up a story. Everyone loves the rumor mill. But I just want to say we debunked that here on Wild On because we know that you and Matt are airtight in work, in life, in your relationship. Not to mention, I love the fact that this was something you guys brainstormed together. Like, this was a partnership, a husband and a wife brainstorming business together to cultivate this, and this is all open.
And that's what it is. It's business. And gosh, I have so many people who have come up to me being like, what is this? What do you think about this? It's like, do you think after 7 years that my husband wouldn't ask me if he can be with another female? And also, we've been through it all. We have been through it all, okay? Like, there's no way that someone is going to come into our life and take him from me. And same, you know, if roles were reversed, like, I'm not out here looking for another guy. He's not out here looking for another girl. We're just out here trying to make the most money, trying to be successful, and trying to come up with new ideas. And that, I think, is also why this works. It's like there's a little like mystique to it. Like, this isn't his wife, and what is their relationship? How do they work? Are they brother and sister? Are they partner? Are they like, what is it? I think that's what people like about it. But you know, people are always asking me. They're always asking. They're always thinking that there's some weird thing behind it. I text Steph just as much as I text Matt. And when my husband annoys Steph, she texts me. And I love that. I say, good luck. Good luck. I deal with him at home. Good luck.
I love that. I really, really love that. And I hope everyone listens to that and shuts the fuck up, because this is a beautiful synergy that's happening between all three of you.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, she wouldn't be with Matt if I didn't like her.
100%.
She wouldn't. We respect each other too much. I like her. If she ever needed anything from me and Matt wasn't around, she would come to me. I would come to her. So I think that people do need to like just take a second to be like, oh wow, maybe they're just grown-ups.
Yeah, exactly. In business.
Yeah, trying to make money.
Okay, speaking of making money, let's talk about something that I know you are going to love because it encompasses so many things that I already know we have in common. Okay, number one, Aritzia. Number two, Pamela Anderson, West Coast Queen. Number three, let's talk about this world that she has collabed with Aritzia.
I mean, she's an absolute icon and a queen. And a lot of people don't know that she came from the island that I'm from. And she was spotted at a BC Lions game. That is how she came to be the famous Pamela Anderson. I'm obsessed with the fact that she's like making a resurgence and now she's the face of Aritzia.
Hello.
And you can tell, or I shouldn't say you can tell, I can tell being from the island that campaign was shot on the island. I can tell. Everything about it, I'm like, oh my God, that's the island. I know, I immediately knew. I didn't even know it was Pam Anderson at first, and I saw a photo, I thought, that looks like the island. And then I'm like, oh my God, this is like shot in her backyard.
And how about the fact that, like, okay, because me and you, you know, there's no secrets. We love our Botox. We love our filler. We're just trying to age gracefully. Pammy is not doing any of those things, no, Mom.
And she looked so beautiful in her little documentary with no makeup on. And I kind of love that for her because she went so far one end and now she's so far on the other end. And like, that is very much Vancouver Island, like West Coast BC, just like, I'm going to live my life and not fill my face with chemicals. Good for you. It's not for me, but good for you.
And there's all these movements. Like I was just listening to a podcast this morning. I don't know if you listen to the Dumb Blonde podcast with Bunny.
No, do I need to?
Yes, you love it. And she had Jeffree Star on. And there's this whole movement in Hollywood now with dissolving your fillers. Everyone is going back to natural.
So I did start dissolving my fillers. Now, I get Botox. And I found other ways around it. But I dissolved my fillers. I don't have lip fillers in anymore. None of it. I just basically do really intense lasers on my skin.
Okay.
And then I do a little bit of Botox. And then I do PRP, which is taking your own blood, spinning it, and putting it back in you to, like, regenerate the cells. And that has been the best thing ever.
Crazy. Okay, so besides your lips, where else did you have filler that you don't have anymore?
Well, I kind of tried everything once. So I had Sculptra for a little bit, and I put Sculptra in my smile lines. I put Sculptra here. Like, so I tried Sculptra for a bit. Sculptra was not for me. I had filler in my lips. I dissolved that. Then I put filler back, and then I dissolved it again. I had random things, like, around my jawline and under my eyes. Like, I am one of those people, I'll try everything once, but if it doesn't work, I'm not keeping it in.
Totally.
And it's like, no love lost. I will just dissolve it and move on.
Yeah. No, I think that's really cool because there is this movement now where we push so hard to look like human filters. And now we're in the middle, I think. And I would say the Kardashians probably started that movement to some extent.
Yeah, I love it. It's just moving away from that 90s trend of overfilling yourself and not looking like you.
Yes, not looking like a crazy Catwoman. Because that is what can happen, for sure.
Yep.
Okay, let's circle back to wrestling just a little bit. Just a little bit about wrestling. Miss one half of the women's tag team champion. And homegirl, you like became a champ, had a partner. She got injured. And you just, you know, you're just retaining your championship with Miss Piper Nevin.
It's so crazy, isn't it? It's so, so crazy. I mean, there's no words that can describe how it feels to be a WWE champion after almost 10 years of working towards this.
Of course. And was there a big fear when your tag team partner originally got injured? Were you like, fuck, the reign is over?
I was more so worried for her in the sense, like, she just has worked so hard to get there. I have been through this a million times. Like you said it when we first started, I have been fired and rehired a million times. I've broken bones. Like, I'm good. I know I can come up with something, and if they don't want to use it, then they're going to do what they want. That is, you know, you can't change that. But I was just worried for her and her mental health, like going from being on the road for the past 7 to 8 years to having her very first injury and being out after winning the championship, her first title. But actually, like, it turns out she's thriving and doing amazing and healing so well. And we talk all the time. And I was just very, very grateful to be given a second chance.
Sure, sure. Well, I think the adversity you have experienced probably set you up for success out of that situation.
Yeah, I mean, there was no stress because whatever happens, happens. You know, sometimes people break their arm and they use them for the next 3 months with a broken arm. Some people break their arm and they you never see them again.
It's true. It's true. Okay, let's wrap this up because you and I can blah, blah, blah forever. We'll do...
I'm the worst. I am literally the most long-winded human being. Talk about my wedding and I will tell you about my entire 7-year relationship.
Okay, let's do my top 10 tailor-made questions. I don't know if it's 10. I don't know if it's 14. I don't know if it's 8. Let's see how it goes. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I'm ready.
Last concert you went to?
years ago, but Shawn Mendes. I took Matt on a date night to Shawn Mendes. We had the best time.
Cute.
I was supposed to go to Madonna, but she's sick, so.
Oh, where was the concert? Was it in Florida?
Yep.
Okay, okay. Favorite apparel brand?
Lululemon.
And we have it in America now, so it ain't no thing.
You cannot go wrong with Lululemon, like, in all aspects. Now it's like, come on. You could dress it up, you can dress it down, and I'm traveling all the time. I only wear Lulu.
You want to be comfortable. Favorite airline? Are you airline specific?
So I'm not airline specific, but now after doing this for 10 years, I'm definitely a Delta girly. I just feel like, I mean, they did change their loyalty program the other day. I'm very upset about that. But just like overall, like just customer service, friendliness, cleanliness, all of it, like the point system, the lounges, all of it. It's just the easiest for me. And I quickly learned that Canada is the worst. The worst. Oh my God. WestJet and Air Canada. Come on.
I know. We all hate. I don't know, man. I just, it's, we get what we're given over here. So I just like grit and bear it.
And that's how I felt for so many years. And now I know better.
I saw the mad drama with Delta on social media yesterday. I thought I'd ask about it. Yeah. I know it might be a little bit triggering, but I'm glad.
Yeah, it's a little triggering. I kind of lost some of my lounge perks, but that's okay. That is okay. We're still a lucky, lucky girl.
Good, good, good. Okay. Favorite ride or die skincare product?
Okay, so not product, but the skincare line that changed my life is called Is Clinical. And I'm telling you, the serums are why my skin looks like this with no makeup on.
And who referred you to that? Like was it a medical grade?
It actually was just my facialist who also does my brows. Like it wasn't the person that I go to for like medical lasers and things like that. But slowly they've caught on and they are huge in America now. And I live by them. And I actually only started out with I believe one serum. And now I have a couple serums, but I don't have a million steps to my skincare. My everyday skincare is fairly basic, and I live by Is Clinical.
Okay, well that's good to know because your skin is radiant. It's always been radiant.
Thank you. I've tried everything. So like if people don't believe me, I feel sorry for you because I've tried it all and I've spent a lot of money and I have now been on Is Clinical for about 4 years. I'll never ever go off.
And they need to endorse you. 10% off. Follow Chelsea Green. Enter code Chelsea Green.
I know, really, for the amount of hype I'm giving them right
Seriously.
Now.
Seriously. Okay, with all the traveling you've done over the years, what is your favorite place to visit? It doesn't have to be wrestling, just in life.
I mean, other than home, other than going to the west coast of Canada and taking the ferry to Victoria, I would say my honeymoon destination of the Maldives was basically like looking at a photo and being in it.
Dream destination.
There's no point in even describing it because it was everything and more. It was a one of a kind, once in a lifetime vacation.
How long was the flight?
It took days to get there. It took flipping days and flights and layovers, and I was in Dubai in the airport for about 9 hours, and it was crazy. But like the minute that you land on that island, that's it.
Okay, fair. Favorite band or artist?
The Eagles.
Oh, classic.
It very much reminds me of like my dad.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, the Eagles, Bryan Adams, Shania Twain, that's very much like my family.
It's very Canadian.
It is. It is now that I'm saying it out loud. I couldn't have, yeah.
Name a movie that changed your life.
Harry Potter.
Did you read all the books and see all the movies?
Oh, I was in line at the bookstore and I was in line when the movies came out. And I that's what sparked my love of reading.
Cool. Okay, so this is like, I'm just going to throw this question out there. Because you said Shania Twain, if you are out in public and you hear the dun, 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 nah, nah, do you go full Shania? Do you have a moment, or do you just like, okay?
Yep. Yeah. No, and if you don't, I don't trust you.
I don't trust
you. I really don't. I really don't trust someone who doesn't say, let's go, girls. I don't. And you know what? Even men.
It's my three-year-old niece's song right now, and she shakes her butt to it, and I'm just like, I can't even do a finish this lyric because that answer encompasses all the things I wanted to know. Okay, yep. Let's wrap it up with the final, your most recent embarrassing moment in the ring or in the wrestling world on camera.
I have two. Last week I went to kick Shayna Baszler in the head and I completely missed. And then when I went to actually kick her in the head, the camera had moved over to my partner's face, so nobody ever saw me actually kick her in the head. Then probably 5 weeks ago now, I went to do a sunset flip over Kaden, and I got like stuck on her back, and we were just kind of like
flipping, just kind of like inching your way. Yeah, just.
Yeah, we were like a seesaw, like a teeter-totter. And so that was pretty embarrassing. But, I mean, I honestly have so many embarrassing moments.
And I don't care. That's fair. I feel like those are, like, high-level embarrassment. Not in the fact that they're embarrassing, but, like, you're a WWE superstar. These are very, like, your vagina didn't come out. No one saw your tampon string. Like, these are, like...
No, and that's the thing. Like, I'm like, do I really care? I still sleep at night.
No. Well, this is such a pleasure to catch up. Thank you so much. And last, let's just plug all your social medias.
Well, I'm going to stop you right there because I don't remember any of my social media. I'm the absolute worst. So feel free to like put a little like blur.
Check
like,
down here.
Your social media.
Yeah. Just know what you want.
I'm the worst with it, but I do have Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. I just have no idea.
Just Google Chelsea Green. It will all come up. It's fine. I love you.
Thank you for having me. I love you.
So nice to see you. Talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.